John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. John 14:6. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Jonah this morning? Jonah chapter 2. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to study God's Word, to advance spiritually, to grow in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Lord. We have been studying the book of Jonah. We continue our study in that magnificent book, this time with our beginning with chapter 2, Jonah chapter 2. We'll spend just a moment now in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. May we pray together, please. We're thankful, Father, for another opportunity to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. We are thankful that we have this magnificent book, the completed canon of Scripture. We're thankful also for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the wonderful opportunity which we have to be in harmony and in fellowship with our Lord, that we might be able to understand and comprehend, categorize, appreciate the wonderful truths which you have in your wonderful word for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Wednesday night, we left Jonah in his prayer chapel, which happened to be a smelly, damp, dark, dingy place indeed. It was in the fish's stomach. We're going to look today again at Jonah chapter 1. Read through this chapter so that you'll be able to know exactly where we are, and then we'll begin our study with chapter 2. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up in my face, up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down into below the deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Verse 7 of chapter 1 of Jonah, then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who it is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them. They asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied. "It will become calm." I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you please. Then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days, 3 nights. I'm sure that you remember that we've emphasized when we came to verse 17 that out of the many different translations of that verse, it says by some that the Lord prepared a fish. Some say that the Lord sent a fish. Some say the Lord created a fish. Whatever the situation is, we know that the Lord did it. So you can put that down for verse 17 of chapter 1. When we left Jonah in chapter 1, we left him in the belly of the fish. That's where we are as we come to the close of that chapter. We have every reason to consider that that's the end of the story. Or it should be the end of the story, we would think. Either he would be destroyed by the waters of the sea, or he would be consumed in the bowels of the Leviathan. And last Wednesday night, we spent a great deal of time dealing with that word, Leviathan. Now, if that's a new word for you this morning, okay. If you were here last Wednesday night or you studied the material on the internet, you realize that we gave a lot of attention to that word, Leviathan. I'm going to ask you to spend just a moment with me to go back to the book of Job. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 41. So I'm going to give you a little time to find it. Job chapter 41. This will help you to be able to see that throughout the Scripture in the Old Testament, that word Leviathan is used many, many times. I'm only giving you a couple examples. In Job 41, verse 1, it says, can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down his tongue with a rope? Now, the word Leviathan is an interesting word because it has been described as a sea monster. It has been described as a whale. It has been described as a huge fish. In Job 41, verses 19 and 21, we have somewhat of a description. In Job 41, 19, it says there, fire brands stream from his mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from his nostrils, as from a boiling pot over a fire of reeds. What a tremendous presentation of this sea animal. Now, if you will, please go to Psalm 104. And I'm going to ask you to go down to verse 26. In Psalm 104, verse 26, there the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, I have a hard time pronouncing that at times, the Leviathan, there the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. The word Leviathan means a sea monster, mentioned in the verses of Scripture which I've just given you. The Scripture says, out of whose mouth go burning lamps and sparks of fire, and whose breath kindles coals. Leviathan means any huge marine animal as a whale. In chapter 2, we're coming now to an interesting presentation. We find, actually, Jonah in this smelly chapel praying. It's interesting to see that in chapter 2, God hears from him, for we find him praying. When you move later on with us to chapter 3, you're going to find Nineveh hearing from him, for you find him there preaching. If you look on the back of your bulletin today, you will see again the outline. We discover that chapter 1 is an emphasis upon disobeying the command from God in verses 1 and 2. Disobeying God in verse 3. Discipline from God, verses 4 through 9. The sailor's concern in verses 10 through 14. The sailor's response in verses 15 and 16. And then verse 17, divine discipline and mercy. It's interesting to me that we put those two words together, divine discipline and mercy. We discover that there's an emphasis upon the fact that God is preserving Jonah. You would think that the discipline is something so terrible, and it is. And yet at the same time, there's mercy being presented here. We discover that God has a reason and a purpose for this man. And though he's been running away from the plan of God, God still cares and loves him. And so we find him now in chapter 2 praying. Notice the outline that we have there for you. We're going to analyze this. When, praying when, praying where, praying whom, to whom, praying what. Now, I don't know whether you've ever thought about this or not, and it has not been a major thought in my mind until I began to study and analyze what we have here. And I discovered something that I had not seen before. And that is the content of Jonah's prayer. If you'll carefully check the content of Jonah's prayer, and I'm going to look with you at that prayer in a few moments, but let me just give you quickly, first of all, the fact that every facet of Jonah's prayer is saturated with Scripture from the book of Psalms. Now, that's amazing to me. And I think it probably will be amazing to you. When you get to verse 2 of chapter 2, you discover that he is in his prayer involving scriptures from Psalm 18, verse 6, Psalm 120, verse 1, and Psalm 86, verse 13. Now, I don't want you to miss this because I want you to see that here's a man who has run and is running away from God's plan. He is disobeying what God intends for him. He does not want to go to Nineveh to preach. At the same time, here's a man who is away from God's plan, finds himself now in the very prayer chapel, which is a smelly, dingy, dark place. We've already analyzed the various facets there, so I'll not repeat that. Here he is, and you'll notice that he is praying. This whole chapter 2 is the presentation of his prayer. And the presentation of his prayer reveals the fact that he has content in his soul, and the content is the Scripture. Now, I don't know whether you're thinking about this or not, but I want you to see that it's possible. It's altogether possible for a believer to be filled with a lot of content of Scripture and then make a bad decision to run away from the presence of God and the purpose of God for his life or her life. Even though they can quote Scripture like you wouldn't believe, they're saturated with Scripture, and yet here they are outside of the purpose and plan of God for their life. This, to me, was one of the most amazing things that I could ever see. So let me give you this outline. You write it down. I want you to see. We're going to come back and look at it, but in verse 2, in this prayer, we discover that Jonah is quoting Psalm 18, verse 6, Psalm 120, verse 1, and Psalm 86, verse 13. In a few moments, we're going to go back and analyze that. Because what I did, I chose to type out these verses so that I would not have to take you specifically to these verses, but I can give them to you. So I type them out for myself, and I'll come back in a moment. But I want to give you the outline first. In verse 3, as Jonah prays, he's quoting Psalm 88, verse 6, and Psalm 42, verse 7. This is amazing. When you come to the content of the prayer of Jonah in verse 4, he's quoting Psalm 31, verse 22. When you go to the content of the prayer of Jonah in verse 5, he's quoting Psalm 69, verse 12. When you go to verse 6 of the content of the prayer of Jonah, he is quoting Psalm 30, verse 3. Now, I know that you probably didn't get all of those, and that's okay. So what we're going to do, we're going to read the verse, and we're going to read the verses. So I'm going to begin with Jonah's prayer. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Now, I would like for you out by the side of verse 1 to notice, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. There are two things that I wrote in my margin of my Bible. First of all, this is personal. He prays to the Lord his God. Now, he's not concerned at this point about confessing anyone else's sins. He's not concerned at this point even about the people in Nineveh. He's concerned about himself. And you'll notice the content of his prayer. He prays to the Lord his God. And I put out by the side of the word God, deity. This is telling us something. Most of you have been able to see that these mariners, many of them prayed to their gods. Over and over we read the emphasis upon the fact that they prayed to their gods. A little G-O-D-S. You'll notice here that it says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. And then he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help. Now, out by the side of that passage, verse 2, I put distress and danger. And here I want to say again that in verse 2, he's quoting from Psalm 18, 6a, which says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. That's Psalm 18:6. He also quotes Psalm 120, verse 1. I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. He quotes Psalm 86, verse 13, which says, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of the grave. Now look back at the passage of Scripture in Jonah. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Now, in just a few moments, I want to go back and give you a different outline. Right now, I'm taking you through these verses because I want you to see how powerful this is. What is the content of his prayer? The content of his prayer is the Scripture. The content of his prayer is the Scripture. And the Scripture that he knows is from the book of Psalms. So let's go to verse 3. This time I'm going to read the passage first in Jonah. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. Verse 3, a quote from Psalm 88, verse 6. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Psalm 88, verse 6. Another psalm is Psalm 42, verse 7. Also in this verse 3. Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. So what do we find? Jonah's praying, and the content of his prayer in verse 3 is Psalm 88, verse 6, and Psalm 42, verse 7. Now let me read verse 4. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Out by the side of that, I wrote the word despair. Despair. Now, let's look at verse 4. What is it? It's a quote from Psalm 31, verse 22. It says, in my alarm, I said, I'm cut off from your sight, yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. So the content of verse 4 is Psalm 31, verse 22. I repeat verse 4. I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Now let's go to verse 5. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. And then I notice that there's an emphasis in Psalm 69. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards. Now let's go to verse 6. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. Verse 6. Quoted in Psalm 30, verse 3, where it says, O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Now, would you do me a favor? Let me just take these verses and let's look at the outline that we have on the back of your bulletin. When he prayed. When he prayed. He prayed when he was aware of the fact that he was in trouble. He prayed when he was aware of the fact that God was very displeased. He prayed when he was in affliction. The scripture reveals here that he was humbled and he was softened in his heart. He prayed when he realized that what he needed more than anything in the world was a right relationship with his God. He prayed when doing the will of God became more important to him than anything else in the world. And I stop today to ask you the question, have there been times in your life when you realize that your relationship to God was more important than anything else in all the world? It may have been at a time of distress, of great difficulty. It may have been a time of death. A loved one. Whatever the situation was, you came to a point in your life where you realized that there was not anything more valuable to you than your relationship to God. Here we find Jonah in this whale, fish, sea monster. Whatever you want to say, God had prepared this. And he was there being the recipient of mercy, protected by the Heavenly Father. He was in his prayer chapel. We've referred to it several times now. It was a smelly dungeon. And yet, we discover that it was a place where the hand of God was very real in his life. Now, I need to repeat something. And this is always humorous to me. When I studied all this for weeks and looking at this passage of Scripture and analyzing the Leviathan and all of these things, I discovered that one of the things that took place was, and the scholars tell us, that if a person finds himself in the belly of a great fish like this for any period of time, that the gastric juices has an effect upon the skin, and it will cause the skin to go white. And I thought about this, and it was amazing to me, and it's interesting for me to be able to think about it like this. You have to understand my sense of humor. I discover that here is Jonah inside this fish, and he's there long enough for the gastric juices to just create a whiteness of his whole skin. White, white, whiter than my shirt, whiter than your white shirt. And his clothes, I'm sure, would be that way also. And I see him now as he is regurgitated, vomited up on the shore. He's white. I don't know just exactly how tall he was. I don't know what size he was. But here I can imagine a tall, white man walking. And the Ninevites are seeing this guy coming into town preaching. Now, I don't know what that would do to you, but you would imagine that it would be fearful to see an individual like this coming into town in that particular condition. The will of God is to be accomplished. When he prayed in trouble. He prayed when he displeased God. He prayed when he was in affliction. He was humbled and softened in heart. He realized his true relationship to God. He realized the importance of being right with God. My second question, where he prayed. All of you already know this. Where was he? In the stomach of the fish. The Scripture, I will that men pray everywhere. Does that mean in the fish? Heaven is equally accessible from any part of the earth, including the sea. Just remember that wherever you are, or wherever I may be, we carry with us our altar to the throne of grace. It matters not where you are. You carry with you the altar to the throne of grace. Can you really pray in confinement? The belly of the fish was the prison for Jonah. And that's the reason I came up with the subject. When confinement is freedom. When confinement is freedom. Now let's think about that for a moment. There have been times in your life, and there have been times in mine, when we feel like and felt like that we were confined. We felt like that we were locked into a situation that we didn't fully understand or comprehend. It was difficult indeed. It was confinement. And yet, the confinement can be freedom. That's what we find right here. We discover that when this fish became a closed-in dark dungeon for Jonah, in his mind, in his innermost being, he walked in liberty because the confinement did not keep him from being properly related those moments with God. I put in my notes, men may shut us out from communion with one another, but not from fellowship with God. Well, number three, to whom did he pray? To whom did he pray? If you'll notice, it says he prayed to the Lord his God. He had been fleeing from God, and now he sees the folly of it. The way back to the one from whom he was fleeing was through prayer. Oh, how wonderful is the mercy of God. Right there you need to put down in your thinking, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The fourth thing is prayer substance. Jonah afterwards reflected upon the content of his prayer. Here's what we see in this scripture. He saw his earnestness of his prayer. He says, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. Many who do not pray at all in prosperity pray earnestly in affliction. Have you noticed that? Is affliction really good for us? Well, you'd say, no, affliction is not good for us. But yes, affliction is good for us. Was affliction good for Jonah? Can you imagine what it's like to be in the stomach of a fish? I want you to know that I can't think of anything just bouncing around in there. I want you to get the mental picture. The gastric juice is pulling on your skin. There he is, inside. God's mercy. He saw his deplorable condition in the belly of the fish. Jonah was saying in verse 3, the mariners did not really cast me here. God, you did this. Thou hast cast me into this deep. It was awful. The floods compassed me, the scripture says. The waters closed in over me. The deep was around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. All of this is found right here. At this point, who can be trusted to help? Is this a no water situation? No. This is a plenty water situation. This is a lot of water situation that is a no water situation. Are you following it? It's too much water. And yet it is a no water situation. Even to get out of the prison, the fish would only put him into the deep. Too much water. Now I want to close these moments with these thoughts. I jotted, please remember, many times God's children are encompassed with the floods of affliction, troubles that are very forcible and violent. Jonah now quotes from Psalm 42, verse 7, which says, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. That's Psalm 42, 7. All thy billows and thy waves pass over me. Jonah was saying here, I know that the path I've traveled is not an untrodden journey. As I think in my mind about the scriptures I've learned, David also walked this way. I'm aware of the fact, Jonah was saying, if others have failed and then they recovered, I too have hope. But my hope can only be in the Lord. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And we'll come back to that verse at the next session. May we bow for a moment of prayer. It's wonderful to know that God loves and cares. And when we fail, we can admit our faults and our failures and know that God forgives and cleanses. It's wonderful for us to be able to see the hand of God in the life of this man, Jonah. It's also wonderful to see the hand of God in your life and mine. This passage of Scripture reveals that God cares and God loves and God desires to bless us. He wants us to go in the right direction. And to the unsaved, to the lost individual, He wants you to accept Him, to believe on Him. Because the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Doesn't say hope so or maybe so, but it says you shall be. And I would encourage you, my lost friend, to trust the Lord Jesus even now. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. The only way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who went to the cross to die for the sins of the world, was buried, came forth out of that grave, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand to make intercession for us. Wherever you are at this moment, you can accept Him. You can believe. You can trust Him. I promise you, upon the authority of the Word of God, He will save you. He will save you now. Father, thank you so much today for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the fact that He is in the saving business. And we pray that there will be those who will accept you even now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.